Maintaining the Best Environment for Healing. This is Dr. Herbert Albarelli, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the thought for today. Maintaining the Best Environment for Healing. This is something that we ignore all too often. I'm going to be facetious for a moment. To have the best environment for healing, you must have everything peaceful and calm. You must have... What are you shaking your head up and down for? I'm being facetious. I'm being ludicrous. I'm being stupid. All right, now, to maintain the best environment for healing, everything must be in order. People must have happy faces. People must believe in you as the person who is working in this healing profession. Everybody must honor you and worship you and recognize that you are a god, that you are the healing agency for them. Sounds interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone should say, you are the doctor, you know what's best. To maintain the best environment for healing, you must have all of those things. Ho, ho, ho. First day? Correct? Okay. Maintaining the best environment for healing requires only one thing, and that you, in your own consciousness, be aware of the truth. The truth, not the appearances. If there is a condition that someone would like to change, and you are the healing agent or the changing agent, or as it might be called, then they come to you and they say, Dr. Barley, I am experiencing... Hush, hush, hush. What would you like to experience? Well, I can't tell you what I'd like to experience unless I tell you what I'm experiencing. Well, you sure can. Because if you tell me what you're experiencing, I'm going to say, look, you go to your psychiatrist or your psychologist, you go to your physical doctor, you go to your minister, you go to your priest, you go to your rabbi, you go to your guru, you go to any one of these people who are happy to listen to you rant and rave about how miserable you are. Now, ask what you will in my name, believing it is done. And it is done. Ask what you will in my name, believing it is done, and it is done. Nowhere did the master teacher say, give me your garbage and we'll sort through it and maybe come up with a solution for you. No way. No way does mama say, now, what happened, sweetheart? What happened? She, if she's a real mama, she'll give you a kiss on the whatever and say, go out and play. It's okay. But if she's, oh, dear, oh, you got dirt on there. Okay, let's get that dirt off of there. There's bacteria and there are viruses. And you know, you'll get HIV and you'll get PDQ and you'll get... Oh, my God. Would I hate to live in an environment like that. I give thanks so many times recognizing my mother didn't handle us kids like that. There are five of us little monkeys. And we were out at our lake cottage all summer long. Naked little jaybirds running around, you know, playing in the ocean, in the ocean, in the lake, you know, just having a great old time. Right after meals, we dive in, go swimming. Oh, we heard that you're supposed to wait for an hour or two, but that's merely because Mother wanted us to stay in and wash the dishes and put things away and put the house in order before we went out to play. And merely a way to keep us in from doing it. And that's smart, I mean, you know, one way or another, but she would have been smarter if she'd say, all right, now you kids are here and on vacation. I'm on vacation too. So now you help here, put things away and wash the dishes and straighten things out, you know, and then it's all okay. Okay. And it's not a bad thing. If you go swimming, you'll drown because, you know, you have get cramps. Well, you're creating the cramps in the kid's mind, and that's stupid. And adult's mind just as much, you know. And if you think that you can say things like that and not have it retaliate on you, because whenever you're swimming and you feel a slight cramp, oh dear, I ate just recently and this is what it's, and you know, I'm going to die, that's right, yeah, and so then you die and you say it's all because I ate and the cramps, but it isn't. It's because you had a mental attitude about it. Okay, maintaining the best environment for healing. The best environment for healing takes place within one person. and that is you. You who are, quote, quote, the healer. You who are the person who is the practitioner. Isn't that a better word? You're the practitioner. You are putting the cause in motion of healing and wholeness and right action, truth, goodness, whatever it may be. You are it. And if you think you need an environment to work, well, then you get out of the business. Because does a doctor need an environment to work? He works wherever the patient is, in under whatever condition the patient is. If the patient is bleeding out in the middle of the road, he goes out there and puts a tourniquet on it and straightens the guy out before he drags him off the pavement and has other people guide the traffic away. I mean, here, the doctor is in the middle of the highway with cars buzzing around. Do you think he's concerned? He's concerned about his patient. Now, you and I, as practitioners, we should be concerned about our friend. We don't call them a patient because we don't consider that they have problems that need any help. They're our friend. And so we look at them and we say, you're whole and perfect. Now, most of the time, and this unfortunately is true, we look at the person, and if they're bleeding to death, we want to stop the bleeding to death. We want to put a tourniquet on. We want to do anything we can. So as a practitioner, sometimes we reach out with our scarf or something and put a tourniquet on to stop them from bleeding to death. And as a practitioner, if we see they're going to get run over by other cars, we drag them off the road. And as a practitioner, no, we don't. If we are the ideal practitioner, and we're called in to practice, then what we do is we see them
whole and perfect.
Whole and perfect.
Period.
Now. Now. We don't see them whole and perfect later. We don't see the development of the healing taking place in 6 months for the leg to heal, or 6 weeks, whatever it takes. We don't see that. We see it now, whole and perfect. Now, in the beginning, as a practitioner, you may find that a little difficult. Your experiences in the past may have taught you that you should give a helping hand. And so, you give the helping hand, and you slow down the healing process. In fact, you'll stop the healing process. Stop the healing process? Yep, because the healing process takes place in your mind. You are the creator of your world. You create that person in perfect health, whole and perfect. And then you look at that person and you see them whole and perfect. And then that person gets up whole and perfect. Oh my God, Herb, what sort of a program are you teaching here? What Jesus taught. What the great philosophers and gurus and teachers and healers taught. They all taught the same thing. See your patient whole and perfect. If you see your patient sick, you're not contributing to his whole healing, his wholeness. You see, maintaining the best environment for healing is right in our own head. Do we feel we have to get out and help? Now, this is going to sound bad, and it's meant to. When you go and see a little child who is suffering from something, do you look at the little child and say, well, you little rascal, you're whole and perfect? Or do you reach your hand out and touch the forehead of the little child and say, you're whole and perfect? Oh, what a loving, sensitive way to do it. How very tender and loving. What a mother fart you are, you know? And you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. You should be so pure in your consciousness in this environment of healing that you see that child whole and perfect. You don't see there's anything to cuddle. There's nothing to snuggle. There's nothing to make him feel better about. I love my new little golden retriever puppy. He's going on 9 weeks. And he is a snuggle bum, you know. He loves to cuddle. He loves to be hugged. He loves to be petted. I take the stuff out of his feet that he collects on the seed pods and stuff, and they're in there pretty hard. And he doesn't mind. He knows that I'm doing it because I love him, and it feels better when it's out. He knows that. But if I were thinking that the healing needed to be there, that he wouldn't catch those things in his feet, and that he would always be perfect, then I would treat him differently too. But now, he comes up to me for snuggles because he loves me and because I love him. He doesn't come up to me because, oh, I hurt, I hurt, I hurt. And then I snuggle him because he hurts. No. If he comes up to me and he says, I hurt, I say, you're whole and perfect right now. You're fantastic right now. And I turn my back on him. And then he chases after me, whole and perfect. You see, the thing is, if I would put my hand down and pet him because he was ill, because he was hurting, because then I would be seeing him that way, and the healing experience would take a long time, and I would not be maintaining the best environment for healing. You understand? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not telling you this is an easy thing, because all of our lives we have been taught the contrary. And so now I'm telling you to do things different. And it is not easy. It is not easy to look at things differently in this way, because we've been trained to do it otherwise. However, it's not easy for you to sit down and play the piano either. But you practice, and you practice, and you don't say, I don't know how to play the piano, and you practice. I don't know how to play the piano, and you practice. You don't say that. You just say, I'm learning the piano. I'm learning to play the piano. And of course, what you're learning is what you already know. You're just confirming the fact that you already know it by practicing. Pretty soon you play it like a trooper, and you say, yes, I play the piano. Yeah. Did you always play the piano? Oh, yeah, I played from when I was a little kid. You couldn't always recognize the tunes, but I played when I was a little kid, always. Maintain the best environment for healing. How do we maintain the best environment for healing? We recognize that if we live in a world that is whole and perfect now, we will live in an environment of people who are whole and perfect. We'll live in an environment of circumstances that are whole and perfect. And we, too, will be whole and perfect. Now, are you ready for that? Are you ready for such an experience? And the answer is no. But should you be ready, whenever you're ready, this is how you do it. I can tell you one thing. You may think you're good, but if I say, learn the piano, you say, well, I don't have a piano. I say, well, you can't want to learn to play the piano very much. But I don't have a piano. How can I learn the piano if I don't have a piano? If you want to learn the piano, you can learn the piano without a piano. But no! Yes. I told you about the prisoner of war in the Asian prisoner of war camp, and they were in solitude all the time. And so the guy, just to keep himself from going berserk, he mentally created a piano in front of him, keyboard, and he played and practiced as he had heard about practicing. And by the time he came out of prisoner of war, he was playing the piano very nicely, very nicely. Always, but you see, the thing that was nice for him, he always hit the right note. Mm-hmm. He always hit the right note because he intuitively knew where those notes were, and that's what he played. Now, you see, it's like Maltz, when he had his basketball team that were practicing in the dark in their meditation, and the other was practicing on the floor. The one that was practicing in meditation, they didn't make any mistakes. They shot a basket and hit it every time. They did all the game activity perfectly because they were in charge. They didn't see themselves making mistakes. The other guys on the floor, they would shoot and miss and shoot and miss, and they built up a skill, but they had to overcome the fact that they felt they didn't know how. So Maintaining the best environment for healing, that's our consciousness. Our consciousness. When our consciousness is so pure that we believe these things that we're learning and apply these things that we're learning, then we are truly the master. So, hi, masters.
Hi.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.